إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. Now, brothers and sisters, we are looking at why do we need Islam in this dunya, which brings me to the two fundamental questions that every time and every place and every civilization has tried to answer. And these two fundamental questions are: who is my creator and how do I connect with him? And the second question is, what will happen to me after I die? Take any civilization, take any religion of any time, civilizations and religions that exist today, civilizations and religions that used to exist, that no longer exist today. Take all the Roman and Greek pantheon of gods and goddesses. Take the Egyptian religion, which the pharaohs practiced. Take anything you like. What exists today, what does not exist today. These are the two fundamental questions that people have tried to deal with. And they have tried to address. One is, who is my creator? Who is God? And the second one is, of course, connected with who is God is, then if I know who is God, then how do I connect to God? And the second question is, what will happen to me after I die? And all religions have tried to address this, and all religions have ended up with some philosophy or the other. Because how do you address this? If somebody asks a question and if you try to answer this question on your own, the result of that is a philosophy. So each person tried to address this philosophy in their own way. They tried to deal with issues of reward and punishment for actions, because we see in our life that not everybody gets a reward or a punishment for what they do in this life itself. You can see that there are people who do a lot of good and apparently they get nothing. There are people who do a lot of evil and apparently nothing happens to them. They are able to get away with it. So this has been the case forever. Yeah? And if I tell you some of the numbers, they are absolutely astounding. Even the problem with us is we don't read history. And since we don't read history, we have no clue. Take Taimur, for example, who was known as Taimur the Lame. Taimur, in his career, he killed 17 million people. That's a lot of people. 17 million people. Now, people are very, they want to draw their lineage from Taimur. They say, I am descended from Taimur. You are descended from a mass murderer, so what's so good about that? No, seriously, just because you have a Muslim name, it makes you, does it make you any different? Yeah. So the point I'm making is that all religions have tried, and Taimur was a king, he lived as a king, he died as a king, so nothing happened to him. Killing 17 million people didn't help, apparently nothing bad came of it. And I can list for you, there's no shortage of mass murderers in history. There's plenty of them, of all religions. Christian mass murderers, Muslim mass murderers, every religion mass murderers. And then you can keep on saying, well, you see, after all, the religion does not teach you. Forget all that. All this is fluff. Who cares what it teaches, what it does not teach? The fact is, you did it. People died, people suffered, people... entire cities were devastated, right? So the point I'm making is that people have tried to wrestle with these questions. Obviously, how can somebody who dies tell you about what will happen after death? Basic question. If you ask me, tell me about China. What will I tell you about China? I've never been to China. You ask me about America, I'll tell you. You ask me about some of the South American countries, I'll tell you. You ask me about some of the European countries, I'll tell you. Some of the Middle Eastern countries, I'll tell you. I can only tell you about where I have been and I have come back, and I can tell you now. He went to Mongolia, you ask him about Mongolia, he'll tell you, right? What's happening in Mongolia, Ismail Bhai will tell us. But if you ask me, tell me about Mongolia, what will I tell you? I've never been there. Tell me about China, how can I tell you about China? So how can I tell you about what will happen after death when I am alive? I have not died yet. And I know that after I die, I'm not going to come back. So how will I tell you? Now this is the basic thing that happened to all religions, which is people had this question. Now just because I don't have an answer does not mean the question, but this question is still there. So I have a question, what will happen to me after I die? Who do I ask? I can't ask some dead person, I have to ask a live person. Live person didn't die yet. And he is not going to come back after he dies. So how does this question get answered? So effectively what then therefore happened is people made philosophy. Somebody said, no, no, you see, after all, you don't die, you will die, you will come back again in some other form. Some say you come back in the form of, maybe as an insect or a frog or something. Somebody says, no, no, you won't come like, you will come back as another human being, which would be a second life, third life. And, you know, all those bad stuff you did, now you are going to pay for that, right? You were Taimur the king, now you will be Taimur the rickshaw puller or something. So, I mean, this is all, that's the cycle of life. And once you have finished paying off, paying for 17 million people is not easy, but anyway. So, after you have finished paying off all that, then you will go and you will attain some station of bliss and so on and so forth, which is how basically mental logic works. So based on that, people created all kinds of philosophies. But bottom line is, these are philosophies. Bottom line is, these are stories and statements made by people who really don't know. Might be a nice philosophy, but it's still a philosophy. This is where Islam comes into the picture, because Islam is the only religion which has a revelation which is intact. Recently, somebody sent me the statement of the Pope. People forward stuff without even reading. That's another big problem. He made a speech in which one passage in that speech is, he said that we should, Muslims and Christians and Jews, the three Abrahamic faiths, we should, you know, work together and so on and so on. And all of which is nice, good. Nobody disagrees with that. That's fine. But before that, in that same speech, he said that the richness of description of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Quran put aside all of that and reduced it. Right? Now, my point is that's I agree with him. Totally, 100%. But the people forwarding it, they don't even read and understand what he's saying. I completely agree with him. What did the Quran do? The Quran removed all the fluff. The Quran removed all the philosophy. The Quran removed all the decoration you put on the stuff. The Quran gave you the actual reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is not a reduction of what the Bible and so on did. It is a cleaning of it, and it is giving you the essence, giving you the reality, the haqq, as described by the one who wrote it and who spoke it. Not wrote it, who spoke it. Right? Now, this is what Islam did for us. Islam is the only religion which has a revelation that is intact. Other religions also had revelations which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they changed them, they embellished them, they altered them to suit themselves. So those revelations are no longer the integrity of the revelation is lost. Those are no longer there. So now when you say, how do I connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Quran tells you how to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Quran tells you who is Allah. Quran tells you who you are. And Quran shows you what is the relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Quran shows you how do you connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Nothing other than the kalam of Allah does this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sunnah and his ahadith as the explanation of the Kalam of Allah. So, when I am saying Kalam of Allah, I mean the Quran and the Sunnah together. The second question, as I mentioned, is, which people have wrestled with throughout history, is what happens after we die. There again, there is no alternative but to turn to Islam, because Islam, what happens after you die is told to you by the one who does not die. Hayyul ladhi la yamut. Who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Only He can tell you. As I said, how can somebody who dies and does not come back, how can that person tell you what will happen after he dies? Because he doesn't know. He can conjecture, he can fantasize, but he can't tell you. The one who can tell you what happens after you die, the only one who can tell you what happens after you die, is the one who does not die. Jalla Jalal. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and through the medium of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know what happens after we die. This is not philosophy, this is not conjecture, this is not fantasy, this is the actual reality. This is the actual truth, which inshallah al-musta'an one day we will find out. We will see it, because we are also going to die. So these are the two absolutely fundamental basic questions. As I said, every civilization has wrestled with them, every civilization has tried to deal with them. And there are no answers except the answers given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi after Nabi. He sent His Kalam in different ways to different Anbiya alayhimus salam, basically with the same message, to say this is what will happen. This is who Allah is, and this is what will happen. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ السَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Very simple. And of course, in other places Allah described Himself in other ways more detailed. But basically, fundamental, why is Allah saying قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ? Because this is the question. Who is Allah? هُوَ اللَّهُ الْأَحَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Because that's the other issue. If Allah is one, many religions or most religions have ascribed partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, well, what about the partners? Allah is saying no partners. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He needs nothing. هُوَ الصَّمَدْ. He is free from all wants. Who is Allah? Allah is not like you and me. Allah is not a superman. Allah is not you in a, you know, human being in a different version. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like nothing in creation. So these are the basic fundamental questions of the human being, which Islam only can answer, and alhamdulillah, Islam has answered. So what do we get from Islam in this life? This is what you get: answers to fundamental questions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to help us to understand that it is essential for us to take time out and learn our religion. Living in a state of ignorance is shameful, absolutely disgraceful. And we should learn that, and we should take the time and energy to learn our religion. The way to get peace of mind is to learn our religion and to practice our religion, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.